put our trust in you. Our God who reigns, we praise your name. Praise to the only living God. Praise to the holy, faithful one. Hallelujah, we praise your name. There is freedom to dance in your presence, freedom to walk.
Of the Lord this morning, to be able to even do what we are doing right now in Jesus' name. In Mark 3, it says, as he entered into the synagogue, there was a man which had a withered hand. And he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand restored whole as the other. I am so thankful to be in a Spirit-filled church. I've been in other churches where you didn't feel the Spirit of God. But that's worth a hand clap of praise right there. Can we do that for a second? I'm also thankful that we are not just in a Spirit-filled church, but we are in a Spirit-led church where the Spirit of the Lord, He has complete authority and dominion in this place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Matthew 14, it says, and when the men of that place had knowledge of Him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto Him that were diseased, and besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. And as many as touched them were made perfectly whole in Jesus' name. I'm reminded by this scripture as I was reading this morning in Jeremiah. It says, call unto me and answer me, and I will show you great and mighty things. If God is saying anything this morning, He is saying, reach out to me. Call out to me. I will show you things. I will do things for you that nobody else can do, no other God can do, in Jesus' name. Why don't you thank you for that this morning, that we have that opportunity. There was opportunity then, and there is opportunity right now. If we reach out to Him and call out to Him today in this place, in Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Great is thy faithfulness. There is freedom. Freedom reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and there is freedom.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Has he been faithful to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I worship your name, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you. I receive it.
Surely the Lord is in this place. He is here. He is ready to respond in Jesus' name. If we can stand at this time, we're going to, before, you know what? I apologize. Just be seated for a moment. It is Bread Sunday again. We are in the first week of February, and Everyone has kept up with their bread reading for the month of January. Could you stand at this time?
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, I need a volunteer. Brother Mike, would you come up forward here since you're so willing to hand out some of this? Oh, that looks pretty good. I think it's going to motivate a few people for this next month right there. All right, if we can give them a hand at this time. We're going to stand and we're going to ask, do we have anybody up on the platform? We got one on the platform here. If we could stand at this time, we're going to ask the other usher to come, Brother Mike here. And Brother Gary, if you would pray for the offering in Jesus' name.
I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing louder than before.
No more.
love you more than before. I want to worship deeper than before. I got to scream louder. Oh, yeah, freedom.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free.
Yeah. No more shackles,
no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glorifying my Jesus to see. Glory to God. He set me free. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glorifying my Jesus to see. Glory to God. He set me free. He set me free. Yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm loaded down by Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Freedom. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free.
The Son has said, free is free indeed. Aren't you glad you found freedom in Jesus? Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I hope that you'll indulge me for a few moments. Quite a few announcements that need to be made. First of all, I would like to thank Brother Bill Kellum, who did a masterful job last night in the software training. And if you are not able to be here, I encourage you, we're going to start at the beginning of services giving you just kind of a little infomercial with some information about how you are to log on and set up your profile. Basically, all we need from you is your, we got your name and that sort of stuff. If we do not have your email address, we need your email address, maybe a mobile number wherein you can receive text. This is going to become our primary source of communication with the church in the sense of announcements, in the sense of letting you know things that are happening, events, prayer requests, that sort of stuff. So we need you to do us a favor by logging on And by setting up yourself, if you will, all the information you can put in once you log in, you can change any information that needs to be changed in reference to your profile. You can see contributions giving. One of the most important things is you can look at the event calendars to know exactly what's happening when. And we can use that event calendar to set up certain invites and certain tags for certain groups. And so the software is very robust. It has a lot to offer us. And so we're going to be using it to help you know what is going on. And you will have access to it. You'll be able to see what is happening. And so we just encourage you to get involved. Don't be scared of it. As I told them last night, those of you that are members, you're going to have access to change your stuff and do that sort of stuff, but you're not going to be able to mess anything up. I'm confident that Brother Bill Kellum cannot fix. So we encourage you to get on there to navigate it, to try to get around into different things. This is, as I said, will become our primary source of communication, scheduling events, calendars, that sort of stuff. So we need you to help us and get involved in it and help us to be able to communicate better with you. I do want to say this in regards to our proposed new Sunday service schedule. We are voting on that this coming Tuesday night at our business meeting. And so some of the calendar has yet to be fulfilled based upon how that election goes, if you will. And so there's some things yet to be added. But I do want to say this. Tonight, regularly scheduled service. I realize that it is Super Bowl Sunday. But we're still going to have a super time in the presence of the Lord here in service tonight. Corporate prayer beginning at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and then praise and worship starting at 6:30. It will be a normal Sunday evening service. But after the service, we are going to celebrate someone who has crested the hill and is now going over the hill. Brother Ryan Wallace is turning 40. And so we invite you to come, be a part of the service, and then after service, be a part of the fellowship and the food and the time together celebrating his birthday. If you want to bring cards or bring gag gifts, I'm sure that we can have a lot of fun with that. And so we encourage you to do that. That's tonight after service. And then one of the things that is already on the calendar that we are going to do, and I apologize, we are kind of late in the game, but we want to provide next Sunday night. We're going to have a Valentine's banquet, and this is something that you can purchase tickets to be a part of. It's $10 per ticket, so that would be $20 per couple. We will provide childcare for those that need the childcare. Me? So we want the couples, and not only is it going to be a couples banquet, but it's going to kick off something that we're going to start doing on Sunday night. That is, if the proposed schedule passes. So a lot of this, and please understand, some of this is fluid, it's in flux, so we don't know. I'm pretty confident that we're going to go forward with all this, but on Sunday night, the 12th, at the Valentine's banquet, we're going to be kicking off a marriage seminar that we're going to be doing, and so we want you to come and be a part of that and get information concerning that. I'm going to give you a little bit of insight as to what we're going to be doing along those lines, and then as the calendar changes and those things come up, we will post them on the calendar. We will make those announcements, and so hopefully you'll work with us. You'll be patient with the process. I understand that anytime you institute change, whether it be service schedule, whether it be software and ways to communicate, there's a learning curve. And so I would hope that you would be patient with us and help us to iron out the wrinkles and get it working for everybody. And I truly believe, and those of you that were here last night can readily see how this is going to help us in structuring and communicating. And so we encourage you to be a part of that. Again, the business meeting happening this Tuesday beginning at 7 p.m., and we invite you to come and be a part of that. We will go over during the meeting what the qualifications are for membership and voting. And then those of you that are qualified and would like to vote, you may do so during that. Two things that we will be voting upon. One is the proposed change in the service schedule. The second is we have to elect a trustee and or re-elect an incumbent trustee. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then, and I realize this is a lot, Sister Michelle and Brother Bruce, would you be so kind as to stand? I am proud to announce to you that you are looking at an engaged couple. Brother Bruce has proposed. She has accepted. And the date has been set. You may be seated. Thank you so much. March the 20th here at the church, a wedding at 2 o'clock. And please listen very closely to the pastor, because I want to make sure you understand this. And I want you to understand their heart. They are inviting everyone, a part of the church, to the wedding. And they want their brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, to be here and support and to commemorate this special event. However, because of limited space and all that they have big families, and there's only a certain amount of people that they can have as a part of the reception, they cannot invite everybody from the church to the reception. I hope that you would understand that, and that you would understand this is not to be offensive to anybody in any way. There may be some folks they are close to here in the church that they will give a personal invitation to. If you do not receive a personal invitation to the reception, do not be offended, and do not think that you are being trespassed against, because you are not. They only have a limited amount that they can do, and please understand, they came to me, I understand their heart, and I told them, I said, listen, as pastor, I will, from the pulpit, make sure that it's handled correctly. If anybody has any problem, they can come to me, and I'll set them straight. But we are excited for them, and looking forward to all that God has for them, and that's appropriate. In regards to the Valentine's Banquet, tickets are available and on sale. And so please see Sister Grimm if you would like to purchase those tickets. And men, this doesn't mean that you get out of doing something extra special for your wife. But we do provide this and want you to make yourself available to it. Did you have a question, or did I see your hand, Sister Grimm? No, you can come. Anybody can come. It's $10 a ticket. If you want to come stag, come on. We'd love to have any and all that want to come and be a part of it. It's not to exclude anybody. Obviously, it's a Valentine's banquet, so it will be geared toward couple, but anybody is available to come, okay? And so we don't want anybody to feel like this is not for you. This is available to any and all. So thank you for that. Thank you for that clarification. So without further ado, why don't you stand? Thank you for allowing me the moments to go over all that. I am excited. I'm always excited to bring the word of the Lord, but this morning I believe the Lord is dealt with me in a mighty way concerning a subject that, though I have read the passage numerous times, I've never seen the intricacies of this passage and the revelation therein. And so I hope that God will open your heart and your mind to receive what I believe His Word would like to say this morning. Matthew chapter number 12. Be so kind to turn there in your Bibles. Matthew chapter number 12. So good to see so many standing and reading their Bibles and keeping up with their Bible reading. We do. And let me say this as pastor. Whatever, obviously we have the bread program. We have pamphlets. But whatever particular medium you are using to keep up with your Bible reading, as long as you are on schedule to read the Bible through in a year, and maybe even before. Some of you may be on schedule to read the Bible through in 6 months. And if you do that, you can stand for all 12 months. The whole thing is to encourage you and incentivize you in reading the Word of God. And so whatever you choose, whether it be an app on your phone, whether it be the bread program itself, whatever you choose to facilitate your reading through the Bible in a year, we commemorate that. So you don't have to be a part of the particular bread program that we have. As long as you're keeping up with your Bible reading, you are available to receive the first Sunday of every month. Just a small token of our appreciation of you being involved therein. And so I just wanted to make sure that is clarified. If you have any questions, obviously you can see me. Matthew chapter number 12. If you're there, can you say amen? I hope that my voice will hold out. I've been battling a cold, and it has yet to let go of me. So I'm going to preach on anyway. So if I screech or I lose volume, well, just listen more closely, okay? Matthew chapter number 12, begin reading in verse number 1. That time Jesus went on the Sabbath day, everybody say Sabbath day, through the corn. And his disciples were in hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now let me stop right here and say this. I know that we are in the Midwest, and we are in the second, last time I looked, second largest corn producing state in the United States of America. But this is not the corn that we think of corn. This is not Indian corn. This is not yellow corn. This is wheat, kernels of wheat. Now, this is important, and I hope you'll understand why this is important later on. But just so we understand, they are not walking through an Illinois cornfield. They are walking through a wheat field. And as they're walking through this wheat field, they take of the ears of wheat. They begin to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, this being him being Jesus, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, everybody say the temple, and he did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. In this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I want to draw your attention back to verse number 6. It is from there I would like to draw a title. Jesus said, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And I want to preach to you upon this subject. One greater than the temple. One greater than the temple. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts, our minds to receive your word. God, that we would look therein, that we would understand, Lord, the principles and precepts there are eternal. They're timeless, God, and they're ever applicable unto us, even today. God, that we would study to show ourselves approved unto you. God, and we would look therein and apply to our lives as we endeavor to live a life pleasing unto you, serving you in all that we are and all that we do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. This happening is recorded in 3 of the 4 Gospels. Matter of fact, where Brother Kreger read from earlier in the service, this happening takes place just before that in Mark, wherein he read. The 2 other writings of this happening include much of the same wording as the passage we have just read. However, the verse from where I drew a text is only found in this particular passage. Here, in the midst of this dialogue with the Pharisees, Jesus makes a statement that many of the religious types of that day would have considered absolutely absurd. A statement that while we may casually pass over and not easily understand, is nonetheless essential to the point Jesus is making to these postulating Pharisees. They, the Pharisees, were concerned that the disciples, under the eye of their mentor and master, had picked ears of wheat, rubbed them in their hands, as one passage said, to separate the kernel from the chaff, and then eaten, having done this on the Sabbath. And so they said, and we read it in the passage, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Jesus, after giving other examples of seemingly unlawful deeds that were done, which they themselves accept, he makes this statement. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Boys, you need to learn something here. Here is a teachable moment for you Pharisees, if you can but understand what is being said. Jesus and trying to get them to understand. He begins to point out some inconsistencies. He begins to look back. He references and he says in verse 3, but he said unto them, have you not read what David did? It was rhetorical. Jesus knew that they had read. Jesus knew that the Pharisees knew what David had done. Jesus says, have you not read what David did when he was in hunger? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Jesus is saying, you priests understand that this bread that David and his men partook of was hallowed bread. It was sacred bread. It was bread that was only to be consumed of. It was only to be eaten of by the priest. It was not lawful for David and his men to partake of this bread. It was kept in the temple. It was upon the table of showbread. It was sacred. It was holy. It was not lawful for David and his men to do what they did. You read the wording of the passage that is found in reference to this happening in 1 Samuel 21 verses 5 and 6. You will understand that it is revealed therein that it was the Sabbath day. David referenced that it was this day sanctified in the vessel. In other words, David and his men come to the temple, a holy place, on the Sabbath, a holy day, and they partake of the showbread, a holy substance. Say with me. There's something to be gleaned from these passages. There's something to be understood. There is a reason why Jesus is referencing this occurrence. It is the reason why Jesus is bringing to the awareness of the Pharisees this event, which they readily are aware of. He is making them to understand David and his men went into the holy place on a holy day and partook of a holy substance. What Jesus begins to do is reveal the inconsistencies in their religion. Stay with me. The Pharisees, because they like David, because King David was special, because he was revered and admired, because he was a patriarch of their history. It was one thing for David to do it. Almost acceptable in their eyes because it was David. But here these disciples, which they despised, casually walk through a wheat field and pluck of the ears of wheat in their hand and separate the kernel from the chaff and partake of it on the Sabbath. And they are condemned. As if they would give David and his men a pass. Yet they would want to prosecute the disciples. Say with me, we're going somewhere. Understand this, that even in the law that they want to reference, if you read Deuteronomy 23:25, you will find that there was provision for the disciples to do what they had just done. These Pharisees were so Pharisaical. They were so involved in a faithless religion. They were so consumed with the ceremony and the rites and the rituals and the rules and the regulation of their religion. Jesus has to reveal the inconsistencies in their judgment. Jesus says, you condone David's actions because you like him. And yet you condemn the actions of the disciples because you don't like them. Say with me. David and his men went into the very house of God and ate of the sacred bread on a sacred day, and you give them a pass. But the disciples casually walk through a field of wheat and pluck ears on the Sabbath day, and you want to prosecute them. Let me stop here and say this.
Jesus is revealing the corruption of a faithless Pharisaical religion. Religion that reserves prejudices and applies sacredness only when it serves our purpose is faithless and it's Pharisaical. And it should be rejected. If our religion reserves with it prejudices, if our religion has with it respect of persons, if our religion condones certain things for certain people of a certain status, I'm preaching. And it applies only sacredness where it serves our purpose or where it means something to us, then we better be very careful, because our religion is becoming a faithless religion. It's becoming about our relationship with rules and regulations. Jesus was revealing unto them, boys, where you're erring is your religion is based upon your relation to the rites and your relation to the rules and your relation to the regulations, and it is therefore corrupt. Corrupted. Because your rules and regulations are subject to your preferences. Sacredness is only applied where it serves your interest. And so it has become corrupted. Say with me, I'm going somewhere. He goes on further. He says, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Oh, how Jesus has stepped to it. But now he's dancing around it. Oh, he's ruffled their feathers, but now they're probably nighing to gnashing him with their teeth. Oh, he's got up in their grill, but now he is really messing up their mindset. Have you not read in the law how that the priest profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Whoa, Jesus. What language are you using, that the priest profane the Sabbath? Boys, you're upset because you saw these disciples take some kernels of wheat on the Sabbath, and you're wanting to prosecute and condemn them is based upon their doing so upon the Sabbath. If they would casually walk through a field of wheat and they would glean from the tops of the wheat a bit of grain to partake of for themselves, and because they have done so on the Sabbath, you want to condemn them. You want to prosecute them and say that it's not lawful for them to do so. But I tell you that even in the law, the priest on the Sabbath day profane the law. Jesus is referencing Numbers 28. For Numbers 28 verses 9 and 10 reveal that on the Sabbath, the priests were to do extra work. On the Sabbath, they were to take two extra lambs. On the Sabbath, they were to take two tenths deal of flour. What's flour? Wheat. Jesus is once again referencing what is done in a sacred place, the temple, with the holy substance, the offering, the two tenths deal of parched flour. On a holy day, the Sabbath. The day, the substance, and the place. Both passages, Jesus is referencing a holy day, a holy substance, and a holy place. He's saying that even on the Sabbath. Now, stay with me for a moment. I'll bring something to your attention that happened to me as a young man that I questioned. I mentioned to somebody that I was going to mow the lawn on Sunday. He said, whoa, you don't do that. That's the Sabbath. You don't work on the Sabbath. So I took it well. All right, well, I'm not going to mow the lawn then on Sunday. It's a Sabbath. But then I got to thinking, wait a second. Even now, You want to know the day I worked the hardest? Pastor Davis, the day all the 38 years you worked the hardest? It's the Sabbath. But we consider the Sabbath. So Jesus is making them to understand, wait a second, boys. You're getting upset at these disciples because you saw them glean on the tops of stalks of wheat and partake on the Sabbath. But the very priest which you reverence, the very priest, I don't see you up in arms about the priest doing extra work on the Sabbath. I don't see you up in arms about the priest on a holy day in a holy place with a holy substance doing extra work. Say it with me. Boys, you're messed up in your mindset. You're messed up in the way that you're thinking. Numbers says, 28, 9, and 10, on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and two tenths deal of flour for a meat offering mingled with oil, and the drink offering thereof. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. It's extra work. I don't see you Pharisees up in arms about the priests working on the Sabbath. In the very symbol of your religious service, they're in the temple, a holy place on a holy day with a holy substance. And you're okay with it. You don't want to condemn them. You don't want to prosecute the priest for performing their service, for doing the service of God. That's okay in your mind, but it's not okay for the disciples to do what they have just done. Well, catch me, because here it is. Here Jesus brings it home. Here Jesus wraps it up in a nice little bow and gives it to them in this nice little package. He looks at them and says, say unto you, there is one here greater than the temple. Oh, Jesus, you're speaking to Pharisees. You're speaking to men who the symbol of their religion is their sacred temple. The very symbol of their devotion and their worship and their allegiance to Jehovah God is the temple. And you have the audacity to look at them in the eye and say that there is one here greater than the temple. Catch this. You really understand what Jesus said. Listen. If you understood what this means, if you understood what I'm telling you, you would understand I will have mercy and not sacrifice. If you truly understood what I'm trying to get across to you Pharisees, the substance of your condemnation would cease to exist. I really hope I can show you what the scriptures revealed unto me. What Jesus is saying when he looks at them and says, there is one here greater than the temple. He is saying, boys, I'm greater than the symbol of your religion. Boys, I'm greater than the symbol of your devotion and your allegiance. Jesus is saying, where I am, the place I am is much more sacred than the temple. Where I am in my presence is much more sacred. It's greater than the temple. What you need to understand that what these boys have done. Oh yes, they've messed with a holy substance on a holy day. But it's in a holy place because they're right here with me. There is one greater than the temple. And if you understood this, then the substance of who you are would change. And you would not condemn the guiltless. You would have mercy and not sacrifice. You would understand that the one that stands before you is greater than the temple. I am greater than the holy place. And my substance, made up of mercy, is greater than your substance which seeks to condemn. Boys, the substance of my mercy, for I, catch this, am the bread of life. Catch it. What the disciples are doing, they don't even understand the implications of what's going on. If you think that they did what they did in the eyes of the Pharisees by coincidence, you don't understand Scripture. They are doing what they are doing in the eyes of the Pharisees so that Scripture could be fulfilled. It seems like something casual that they are doing. They're just gleaning from the tops of the stalks some wheat, and they're just rubbing it in their hands, and they're just separating the kernel from the chaff, and they're just eating of it. But what they're doing has far greater implications than they even understand. And the fact that the Pharisees saw it and pointed it out, it opened the door for Jesus to present unto them a great revelation and a great understanding. Boys, you're all concerned about a holy substance in a holy place on a holy day. But you are standing by one. You are standing in the very place of one who is greater than the temple. You are standing in the presence of one whose substance of mercy has the bread of life is greater than your substance of guilt and condemnation. And you need to understand this, that in my presence there's holiness anytime, anywhere. You get concerned about a holy day and a holy place with a holy substance, and you need to understand that these disciples, you give the priests a pass because they do so in the service of God. But what you fail to realize is that these disciples do also in the service of God. Jesus is revealing who he is. Jesus is saying something that to them seems absolutely absurd. I am greater than the temple. Well, what are you trying to say, Pastor? What are you trying to bring out in all this? What's the meaning behind all of this? Why would you point this out? Jesus, he says, listen. I say unto you, this place is one greater than the temple. The temple is a holy place, yes. Being in my presence is greater. All right, now I'm about to bring it home. It's great that we gather together at 221 North Eddy Street in Sandwich. It's great that we have this house. It's great that we can come together and we can assemble together. Understand this. Without the presence of God, it's just another place. Without His presence being here, it's just another place. I know. We reverence it, and I know it has a sacredness, and it should. And I know we don't allow certain things to happen in here, and that's right. But we also need to understand this. I love coming to church, and I love being here at 221 North Eddy Street, and I love walking in those doors, and I love being in the presence of you good people, but there is something much greater. There is something way more wonderful than just walking in those doors and communing with you and speaking with you. There is something that goes far beyond just being here in the house. That's being in the presence of the one who is greater than the temple. If this place burns down tomorrow, guess what? I can still be in the presence of God. If this place gets shut up next week, we can still be in a greater place. Now, please understand, make no mistake, this does not in any way, shape, or form excuse or give someone a pass from coming to church, but it is the understanding that there is something greater. Yes, I should come to church, but until I get into the presence of God, it's just another place. I love church, but I love feeling the presence and power of God. I love. You catch this. We have to be careful that the symbols and the edifices of our religion does not become what we serve. Because if that starts happening, then there will be prejudices. And there will be sacredness that is applied only as it serves our purpose. That's why Jesus is trying to get them to understand, boys, your relation is to the rights and the rules and the regulation. But there's something greater. There's something to be said for devotion. There's something to be said for discipline. There's something to be said for reverencing and holding sacred the things of God. But you cannot do so properly without a relationship with God. How many people, please understand, I'm not demeaning their devotion. I'm not demeaning their discipline of coming to church. I'm not demeaning what they do. But they need to understand there's a greater level. Because if I just do those things out of repetition, or I just do those things out of rite and ritual, I just do those things because it's a rule or a regulation, I have missed the greater. Jesus says there is one here greater than the temple, boys. I wish you had a relationship with me. The reason why it's okay for these disciples to do what they're doing is because they have a relationship with one who is greater than the temple. They have a relationship with me. We walk together and we talk together. And I love the church and I love the things of God, but I love my walk and relationship with God. That's why. That's how I can become resolute that if life were to ever cause me to walk away in the sense of location from this place or from this people, I can still be and walk in the presence of God. I can still have relationship with Him. He says in verse 7, if you had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. Folks, we have to be careful that our substance is not substance of condemnation and guilt. I knew it was going to get quiet at that comment. Our substance is not that we use the Word of God as a window to look through and judge others, to condemn, to look down. I understand. I get it. In our humanity, often that makes us feel better about ourselves. And so we do so. You need to understand that is not the makeup and the substance of a relationship with God. A relationship with God is not one of substance with guilt and condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Our walk in relationship with God, what we feed upon in the manna from heaven, is not substance of guilt and condemnation, but mercy. He said, if you would understand what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. The substance of who I am. Holiness, who I am. Part of that. Do you realize that the shoe bread or the show bread, however you would pronounce it, literally means the bread of faces. The very presence of God. And one of the many faces of God is mercy. He says, boys, if you understood that you were in the presence of one greater than the temple, greater than all your symbols, greater than all the edifices and all those things which you have since idolized and made the focus of your religion, your rights and your rules and your regulations, and you have failed to have relationship with God. Because if you walked with Him, and He was in you, then your substance would be of His substance, and you would have mercy, and you would have not condemned the guiltless. And finally, He says, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Yes, the Sabbath is a holy day. But walking with Him every day is great. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. I love that we have Sunday when we can come together and we can get together. And I'm glad that we have, and I don't say this demeaningly, a Sabbath, if you will. But if your walk in relationship with God is only about the Sabbath, you're missing the greater. I love that I can celebrate my walking relationship with God on Sunday, and we can come together on Wednesday and study the good word. But you need to understand the greater is on Monday when I'm not with my brothers and sisters. I'm all by myself in my prayer closet. And Tuesday when nobody else may be giving me the attaboy, I'm still walking with Jesus. He's Lord, even of the Sabbath. Oh, is there something to be said for religion? But it doesn't come close to relationship. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Holy substance on a holy day in a holy place. It's wonderful. It is overwhelmingly trumped by getting substance from a holy God anywhere at any time. For there is one greater than the temple. There is one right here, right now. Go ahead, rely on your religion, your holy days, your holy things, and your holy places. But I'll take a relationship with a holy God any day, anywhere. For I've come to know the one who is greater than the temple. If you don't know Jesus like this, if your religion is based upon certain things at certain times in certain ways, there's something to be said for that, and I'm not demeaning that. I'm here to offer there's something greater. There is relationship with the Holy God anytime, anywhere. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. It can be on Monday when I rise from the bed. It can be on Tuesday when trouble comes and tribulation comes, anytime, anywhere. Whatever symbols of religion, whatever teachings and instructions in righteousness you have received, whatever ideologies and philosophies have filled your past up to the present. Whatever contemplations and conceptions have constructed the edifice of your existing belief system. Whatever path has positioned you here today. You need to understand you are in the presence of one greater than the temple. He seeks relationship. Pharisees, what you fail to realize, what you fail to understand, is what these disciples casually do in the presence and service of me exceeds even what the priests do in the temple with the holy substances on the holy day. For they walk with me. They have relationship with me. They serve me. They call me master. And Pharisees, you're looking at one who is greater than the temple. My substance of mercy is greater than your substance of guilt and condemnation. Here in my presence on this day is greater than any holy day you ascribe sacredness to. Can I suffice it to say this? It's all about relationship with one who is greater than the temple. All about walking and talking with him whose substance is mercy. He does not condemn. We looked at the woman caught in the very act of adultery. Said, woman, look. Look around you. Where are thine accusers? See, response, I see none, Lord. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Here in the presence of one who is greater than the temple. The law says you should be stoned. But I am Lord of the law. You realize that all these things. Stop looking at the rules and the regulations, the rights. Stop looking at them as being restrictions on your freedom and your liberty. Start looking at them as ways to deepen your relationship with God. For herein, right here, right now, is one who is greater than the temple.
Just to walk with him.
These altars are open. Relationship with you.
Just to know
he's greater than all the symbols.
His hand is leading me.
He's greater than all the contemplations, the conceptions that have been constructed in your mind. The edifices which you have erected in your life somehow define your existing belief system. He's greater. There's more for you today. there'll be even more tomorrow.
Just to walk with Him means everything to me.
Standing in the presence of one who is greater than the temple. You're standing on holy ground, for the presence of a holy God is here. He provides of Himself. Come eat. Eat of His body. Substance of mercy.
Just to walk with Him means everything to me. Just to know He's near, His hand is leading me.
I have the Holy Ghost, the presence of God in me. That means every day, symbolically, the Sabbath. Every place. Men, this holy place. Every day, have opportunity to eat of that substance, the bread of life, a man of mercy. For there is one greater than the temple. One more time, can you lift your hands? Amen. never received the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, is the power and presence, Spirit of One, greater than the temple. It sanctifies me. Just as the vessels in the holy place were sanctified, this vessel is sanctified by the power of the Holy Ghost in me. Just as the glory of God, the presence of God would come down in me upon the mercy seat. The power of Almighty God and the Holy Ghost can reside in my faulty, failing flesh. Because of mercy. And even though I ain't got it all right, sometimes I mess up, sometimes I'm wrong, that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost leaves me. Because His mercy, His substance, His mercy. I'm thankful that I have one who is greater than the temple. And every day of my life, I can walk in the confidence that as the disciples, just like any other day, could glean from the tops of the wheat and eat without thought of what day it is. Guess what? Any day of my life, I can glean from the power and presence of the Holy Ghost in me. For there is one greater than the temple. Oh, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the precious people that gather together. My prayer, my hope, we see the significance in a relationship beyond religion, beyond rules, rights, regulation, into a relationship with one who is greater than the temple. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.